Well, hey everyone, you're listening to the Kurt Landry Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting across from me in this episode is Rabbi Kurt Landry, as usual. And in this one, Rabbi, we're going to be discussing counting down of the Omer and why should believers do this. First off, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And listen, this subject, this is not an easy subject to dive into. It's easy for me because I've been doing this for, 30-something years. And I think it's a key to some of the success that I've had personally in my life is understanding how to take practical Jewish roots principles of the calendar and learn the practical application for modern-day Christianity from ancient principles.
So break down very basic, right? We'll get in really, really in depth of the calendar, but just tell people watching, people listening, what is counting down the Omer basic level?
Okay, so let's first of all identify what an Omer is. Omer is basically 2 quarts of barley, just 2 quarts of barley that they would bring as an offering. Okay, so that's the Omer. Now, that's the measure of it. It's basically they bring for 50 days 2 quarts of barley as an offering to the temple. Okay. The basics is you have Passover, and then the second day of Passover, you start counting down 50 days to the Feast of Pentecost, or in Hebrew, it's Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost in the Greek means 50th. And Shavuot in Hebrew means weeks, the Feast of Weeks. So what happens is there's this, let me just speak to you as a behavioralist. And I can't help it. I was raised by somebody that, an Olympian that taught me how to change behavior. All God's doing is saying is, okay, I've delivered you from Egypt at Passover. You've got all the unleavened bread out. And now for the next 50 days, what I want you to do is pray and bring 2 quarts of barley. Now, this is in the ancient, this is Leviticus, okay? I'm going to bring it into modern day times. But what you're going to do is for 50 days between the time you're delivered from Egypt and to the time you wait and you're empowered, that Shavuot in Hebrew is when God gave them Torah. So he gave them instruction. Okay, so now you're delivered from your old life. You have 50 days. Every day you pray and you bring 2 quarts of grain as an offering every day. That's your habit and pattern. And then after that 50 days, Pentecost, Shavuot comes, and then you are empowered. Also, you are given instruction. So now you have instruction and power. So the whole purpose, and let's talk about this. I want it to make sense. The whole purpose of it is you're going to get a license to do something, okay? I used to be in the securities business, so you have to have different levels of licenses, securities, C7, C6, whatever it is. And in order for you to be able to be an agent, to be legal in whatever state you're in, to actually do commerce and exchange in the stock market, you have to have a license. Well, what's happening here is in the test is, anyone tells you like a Series 7 security license, it's like a CPA exam. It's very tough. So what happens is you really have to apply yourself on a daily basis so that when you take the test, you're empowered. Well, that's kind of what this is like. You have Passover, you decide that, hey, guess what? I don't want to be an Egyptian enslaved Christian. I'm going to go to Passover. I'm going to be redeemed, because that's what Passover is, a redemption. And then on the second day, I am going to start to pray and bring an offering. And I'm not talking about physical money, but I'm going to bring an offering of praise every day. I'm going to pray and praise every day for 50 days on purpose, intentionally, knowing that when I go to the Shavuot service, Pentecost, after 50 days, that I'm going to receive instruction out of the Bible. I'm going to get, you know, one of the programs that we've done is on the nine gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of prophecy. I'm going to have new levels of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but I'm doing it intentionally, and I'm also doing it on purpose. And that's why a Christian would count down the Omer, because what it's doing, it's like you're fasting and praying, and you're getting yourself ready for those who have been given much, God requires much. Was that too, did that make sense?
No, yeah. I'm totally tracking. So now I'm kind of leading into, it's a question, but it's a direction, that the past couple of years, at least since I've been here and creating content, working with marketing, and, you know, just trying to spread the gospel, this topic in itself, this podcast, Counting Down the Omer, it seems like it's one of the most popular requests to get you in person to teach somewhere. Why do you think that it's such a hot topic and highly requested, type of service that more Christians and different types of churches and bodies of Christ need?
Well, I'll personalize it, which I don't like doing, but I think I can't answer your question without doing it.
No, do it. It's good.
Well, it's who I am, Daryl. It's, you know, I'm a habit and pattern person. When I tell people, let's do the goals to grow, I do goals to grow. But I've been doing goals to grow since I was like 18, 19 years old. Not the actual format, but the principle of it. So here's the key is, if you're going to go to a higher level, then you're going to have to learn new skills and habits and pattern. What happened to me as somebody who was in the corporate world, trained behavioralist, okay, let's just call it that. That was my job, was to lead, you know, the last corporate job I had, I think I had 350 salespeople. And my compensation was based off the increase of what I could cause to happen with them. So it was like, okay, game on for me. This is how this works. So what I had to do was, I didn't teach people how to sell. This company I was with, we already had the best salespeople. That the ability to greet, bond, and to demonstrate and close, these guys have this. These were highly paid salespeople. So they didn't need that. But what they needed was, they needed behavioral change. What was happening is their life was interfering with their production. They were too emotional. They didn't have emotional intelligence. If they had a bad day, they didn't know how to switch it off and overcome. If in sales, you have ups and downs, and they didn't understand the principle that every nay brings you closer to a yay. So all those types of things. So what I did is I created a program for them, and so that they learned how to emotionally and spiritually be able to maintain themselves at the highest level. If you fine-tune two or three things, like for these guys, this is back in, this would have been in the 90s, I guess, late 80s, early 90s. My goal was to increase their income by $25,000. And that was my challenge. I said, if you follow these principles, you will increase your annual income by $25,000. And some of them didn't make it. Most of them did. I think 70% did. And then I had that, you know, the upper 2% that, you know, were making like 100 more. They just knocked it out of the park. But those were the most disciplined ones. So when you're talking about, when they come to me, your question of counting down to the Omer, counting down of the Omer is a mystery of spiritual discipleship to take you to the next level for the coming year. Because if you literally get up every day in that 50-day period of time and you focus on the Lord, you pray, you ask, you worship, maybe even sow a seed, an offering, whatever you decide to do to get the pattern going, think about it with these guys. what happened with them in Leviticus was they prayed and brought an offering 50 days in a row. So when the time the Lord comes with the Torah and hits them with Deuteronomy 28 and says, I want to make you wealthy. I want to bless you. But don't forget that it's the Lord thy God who gives you the ability to create wealth with your hands. Well, who's more apt to hang on to that reality of that truth? The guys that gave 50 offerings and prayed 50 days in a row, or the guys that ditched out and then just show up for Shavuot and say, all right, give me the Torah, give me the Holy Spirit. Anytime there's spiritual empowerment, there's also spiritual responsibility to take your value system higher. And I'll be honest with you, going higher in the Lord is like anything else. It's like in business, you know, the old saying is lonely at the top. Because what happens is the higher you go, the less people are going to want to interact with you because they can't relate to how you live and what you're doing. And so I didn't even know that this was one of the most popular. But I think one of the reasons people can receive it from me, it's because it's part of me. It's like who I am. It's who I'm raising. I'm so blessed to have these grandkids, and I'm blessed to have all the people that follow me. I kind of look at them as grandkids. And if I can teach you some of these principles, life is never going to be a bowl of cherries, but here's the thing is you're either going to be one that makes an impact. And like my whole thing with money is money's just a tool, but if you have money, then you have freedom. If you don't have money, then you're subject to the lender. So the reason I believe in being prosperous and debt-free is so that you can be free to do whatever the Lord asks you to do. If he asks you to go someplace, you don't have to go and put it on a credit card. You can pay for it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you can just, you have liberty. Finances brings freedom. And the Lord wants to prosper you. But if you're going to prosper, if you're going to prosper with biblical financial ways, then this counting down of the Omer is one of the keys. Because Passover, you're redeemed from Egypt, 50 days to focus on the Lord. He sends the Torah and the power. It's the birth of the church. And you start your year out right. And to me, for me personally, what I do with the people who follow us is I know from Passover to Pentecost, I have to bring as much content to get them to, well, I'll say it this way. If you're not willing to change the way you think, nothing's going to change. And the counting down of the Omer, that's what happens. You're changing the way you think.
I guess when you break it down individually, so speak to people watching, listening. Maybe they're a non-believer, right? And they're jumping on this content for the first time. It's the first time that they've ever heard counting down of the Omer. And also talk to people that are listening, watching, that have been Christians for a while, right? And maybe they've even been celebrating the feast. Talk to them on the level that maybe they're still kind of in that gray hesitation. I've kind of done it, but I have it. They pull certain scripture to say, hey, you know, like God's blessings are abundant. And sometimes they feel like they're random, but like, why should I invest in this time from the moment Passover hits and it's the next day and now we're leading to Shavuot? Why would that, in a sense, because, you know, I mean, like people try is it, which is what's tough with faith and peace and patience is that people want guarantees, you know, like, hey, if I jump in here and do this, right, I read this, I understand what you're telling me, but like, where's my guarantee to where I feel safe, right? And it's kind of a comfort thing that you have to take a step out in faith and just do it. But what would you speak to the non-believer or the Christian that just got this information, started looking into it, or has been celebrating the feast for a while?
Let's deal with the word guarantee. Okay, guarantee in the Bible is covenant. And in the world, I'll tell you as a 68-year-old businessman, okay? Because that's how my mind works, even more than a rabbi or anything else, even more than a saba, is a business. The only guarantee that you have is God. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore, O Jacob, you are not destroyed. You cannot trust anyone. You can't trust people. So what happens is people will fail you. If you put your life's trust in another person, then the day that they fail you, you will not have the grace to be able to overcome the disappointment. So what you do is you put your trust in God. Listen to me now. Then you put your trust that God gave you that spouse who will fail you. I failed Christy many times, and I will continue. Not on purpose, because I'm just a man. But the point is, she knows that God sent me to her, and I know that God sent me to her. So what happens is, I can trust the God in her and the God we serve 100%. There is no doubt. But what happens is you have to, so I'm dealing with the issue where you said, well, I want to guarantee that the result. Mm-hmm. You can't ask for a guarantee of the result, because if that was the whole story of Job, if you read the story of Job, was, you know, God, Satan said, well, let me test him. Well, Job was a righteous man. And he lost everything, but then he was restored double. But he never cursed God. One of his most famous quotes in the scripture is, though he slay me, I will praise him. And then in Job 42:10, it says that when Job prayed for his friends, who his friends all betrayed him, his wife told him, why don't you curse God and die? I mean, this is not going well for this guy. But what happens is he had a trust in God. So when the Lord restored his family and restored his friends, they restored his. Job was restored because Job never quit on God, even though how did Job do that? Because Job's trust before the trial came was in God, not in his people. Because if he would have had all his trust in his friends and his spouses and his children, then what would have happened is he would have failed. And God knew that he had his trust totally in him. People that I see that are Christians, that are business people, that take a lot of risk, we call it faith. But faith is risky business. Faith is doing something that you can't see. Faith is something that is this hope for. So if you're going to take that step, that risk in faith, then you have to know that you've heard from God. And hearing from God, that's why in the last episode that I think we did, we talked about the 9 gifts of the Spirit and the baptism. You really have to hear from God. And the good thing about being around prophets and other spiritual people is they can help bring confirmation to you. So I will say this, because I don't want to be misquoted on what I'm saying. And, you know, you work with us and we look at you as part of our family. I would never purposely betray or do anything to Daryl and Morgan on purpose. But I may, in my humanness, mess up and cause a problem. And if I do, of course, I'll repent and apologize and try to fix it. I get that. But the point is, emotionally, you need to know, I'm not going to betray you. But the reason you can trust that is because I put my fear and trust in the Lord. That's the difference. And that's where Christians want to get. Christians want to get to a place where they trust God more than they trust anything else. And then you have liberty and freedom to work with all sorts of different people. You see me interact with all sorts of different race, creeds, and colors, different levels of income. You see all that. One of the reasons I can do that is, to be honest with you, even if they mess up and rip me off, I don't care. Because if God told me to interact with them, then I'm going to do my best not to cause the problem. But if God told me, he says, listen, this is a high maintenance, one of my children here, just going through one of those right now, and I want you to work with him. So I'm doing it. And the Lord assigned it. And it's interesting. This particular individual was like almost like weekly, we were having issues with him. And now it's almost like he's made the turn Because what happened is all we did was do what we said, love on him, didn't become impatient when he was making some bad choices. We didn't jump on him and say, hey, that's not what the agreement. We just gave it a little bit of time. And what's happened is this individual interacting with CLM and our staff, which all of us, I told all the staff that's working with this situation, I said, just be patient with it. You know, this is like breaking a horse. There's a racehorse in this. There is a racehorse there, but it's not broke yet. So I'm not looking for, you know, trained racehorses. I'm looking for whoever the Lord sends. He sent me this racehorse, and now let's work with it until it can become that amazing champion. And this has only been a week or two with this individual, and we're already seeing the thing turn around. Right before I came, he sent me a nice text, and like, oh man, I so enjoyed doing stuff with you. And in my head, I can say, well, I'm trying to enjoy working with you, but at this point, you know, you broke the fence, you kicked down the guard, you ran off. We had to send the police after you to go find. I'm teasing, but you know, it's like there. He's just all over the place. But here's the thing: is he's never had a home, he never had anyone spiritually love on him, and he's never had anybody be consistent. And we're just being consistent. And you could say, well, Rabbi, why would you do that? Because that's who I used to be.
So I guess when I said guaranteeing, just because I'm a pretty black and white person, I was trying to speak for people that would have hesitation. One, probably in general with tithing, but especially when you get into, you start learning about the feast, right? And you start learning about offerings. And, you know, I mean, like you've talked about, hey, like when you get into this position, you know, like if you're fasting, right? I mean, like there's different things that you're doing to grow closer to the Lord, you know? And so what would be your direction shift, right? So if you're going to shift someone's direction, they're open, they join us live for this service, right? Or for this time, and they're starting to get educated more and you know, like want to jump into the water a little bit. What would be your shift direction for that individual and your encouragement or guidance towards it?
Crawl, walk, run toward the Lord. You don't have to earn anything with not our ministry or God. We're not sitting back watching going, well, we're waiting for you to do that gainer off the high dive. You know, no, just go into the kiddie pool, sit down for a little bit, get used to the water. And what happens is let the Holy Spirit in you lead you. Even with giving, here's the thing is, I know you have to sow. I understood Christy and I actually tithed before we were saved. So, and we were very successful business people. So, but this Baptist told Christy that she needed a tithe, and that's the reason we weren't conceiving. And, you know, so she came home and told me, and I said, okay, let's give 10% of your income first.
Yeah.
I'm smart, right? Let's give 10% of your income. We'll see what happens. So, and then I'll see if we'll do mine. So then, and she was making as much money as I was. And this is years ago. I mean, this is years ago, and we're making six-figure incomes. You know, this is a long time. I'm just trying to give the perspective here. We have always been successful people. So there's the reason I even say that in the Lord, there's certain patterns successful people have is that, and this is what I'm teaching, like the counting down of the Omer. It's like perfect practice makes perfect. Perfect. You know, you can't get hung up on the mundane. It's like going to a gym. You know, you're not going to see the results just right away. You got to get in the habit of it. It's the same thing with your spiritual life. So anyway, that's what she said. And so I said, okay, let's do that. She sowed it. Her income actually surpassed mine. A little ego there. I'm going, yeah. What? We're not saved. What? And she got pregnant with Megan.
So did you just jump and start emptying like your pockets?
No, I immediately went and said, okay, listen, if we give him 10, let's give him 30. Because I'm looking at this, I'm not saved. And so I was going to her, then she got saved. And then I was going to her, she was my broker. So I said, okay, I had this big deal. I had this big clinic deal. I was writing insurance for life insurance for like 16 doctors. And, you know, the premium was millions of dollars. And so I said, now just tell him, just you go to God. I'm talking about God. Forgive me, Lord. I'm not being disrespectful, but this is the story.
Spirit stock.
Yeah. So I just said, if you go in there and tell him, I'll give him 30 points, 30 points. And then I'm doing, cause you know, this is a, you know, this thing's going to net me probably $500,000. And so I said, 30 points is good. You know, it's good. Let's do it. So anyway, we do it. And then she prayed and the Lord came back and said to her, she said, do the math for him. And I'm saying good, because I was good at math. I wasn't good at a lot of things in school, but math, I was good. So he said, do the math. By the time he pays his partners, because I had partners, and then by the time I do the 30%, you're gonna hardly have anything left. And I go, wow. He said that? He said, yeah. He said he'd make you a deal. I said, okay, what's the deal? He said, if he said to me to say, this is a word of knowledge from my wife, saved, now speaking to me, Kurt, the unsaved guy. If you give him 10% the rest of your life, you'll never have lack. And I'm going, I'm totally in the flesh. What? 10 points? Where do I sign? I mean, it's literally, it was like, let's get this down in writing before he changes his mind and bumps it up. I'm used to negotiating deals, right? So I'm going, oh my gosh, you mean for 10%? And she said, yeah. And so I said, well, I'm doing that. So now she was giving her 10%. I started 10% off mine. I got that deal. Okay. So that took my income way past hers. And then after that's when I got saved. So I never struggled with the giving side of it. So what I do now, to be honest with you, I tithe to where I'm fed, and my house is House of David. So I tithe to House of David. I give my offerings to Kurt Landry Ministries because I support the humanitarian aid projects through that. I give Teruma to different teachers that I feed with. So if I'm getting downloads from somebody, I'll just send them a check. You know, and listen, if I'm sending something to somebody, I want them to send it to where when they open the envelope, they go, oh, wow, that, you know.
How about that?
Yeah, it's nice, right? So I'll send that. I do alms. Like if I'm in the grocery store, I see somebody that not, you know, needs, can't pay their bills. I never let anybody standing in front of me take something back because they don't have enough cash. That's not happening. Nope. And I'll take care of it. And then first fruits every month of whatever increase I have, I give a percentage of that. And then the key is that my Passover offering, that's the big breaker for me, just testimony. Shavuot, Passover, Pentecost, and then Sukkot. So that's what I do. And I don't know where the percentage comes up. I don't really... I'm not like into the percentage thing, but well, what's how much? It's like you do, you know, people ask me like, you do it before tax, after, you know, it's like, listen,
you're getting technical. Yeah.
It's a seed. I don't really, whatever he tells me to sow, I sow it. I really, where we're at with it, Christy and I just pray, but I can tell you, I never go into a service. I would say any church we go to, we would have to be in the envelope. Probably one of the bigger gifts for that Sunday. I don't know, but I know a lot about church business. And the reason I say that is because we are givers. And the thing is that the word of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So like we just sowed a seed. We went down, we were in Santa Rosa Beach and Eddie James was doing a worship set. And his ministry is not just worship, but he takes these young kids that were on drugs and gets them off the street. He deals with stuff that I can't do. I mean, I'm not an inner city, you know, evangelist guy. He is. And so Christy and I sowed a real generous gift to him. So why do we do that? Is, Lord, this is really at the heart of Jesus to go after these kids. He has a gift to go after these Latino kids, these African American kids, these, you know, white kids, China. He just goes, they all like him. He's like a big daddy. And when I saw that, I said, you know what? I want to be a part of that. So here it is. This is how it works, Daryl. One day I'm going to die and I'm going to be in heaven. And when I'm there, there's going to be these gangbangers all tatted up and pierced up. And they're going to come up and give me a hug and say, thank you, because you sowed a seed into Eddie James. That's where I got saved. And that reward is in your account. So I get that. I'm never going to be Eddie James. I can't sing like him. I don't even have his skills to go out into the street. Like he's just a precious gift. I'm using him as an example because it just happened. But everywhere we go, what happens is the reason Christy and I sow seed everywhere we go is because we say, oh, Lord, we want to be a part of what you're doing. I'm excited about it. And he's blessed us. And the thing about it, this is my testimony, so it's not. Every time we sow, it's immediately almost replaced. It's just like somebody will give us something. And it just comes back. But we don't give to get. We give to say, Lord, we want to be a part of what you're doing. Does that help? Or?
Yeah, no. I mean, this is exactly after you walk through what the basic level of counting down the Omer and then just kind of walks us through the timing of Passover leading up to Shavuot. But, you know, I think this episode has kind of turned into a faith thing and a heart thing. You know, that when you combine those two aspects with the faith and taking it through the journey in your life. You know, I mean, like everybody's got random things that either they tell people they're going through or they don't go through. But if they have the faith, then they're telling it to the Father, right? And yeah. And he's blessing them. And, you know, I can't remember where I heard this, but it's probably been 7-8 years ago. Heard a sermon that it was really based around God's perfect timing and perfect plan. And it's all those prayers that you prayed and all the times that you try to sow in and you're doing good for a season with tithing, right? So, like, let's just say that you've struggled with it, but, you know, you had really good seasons. And it's those prayers that God said no, and there was silence, it felt like, yeah, right?
And we all go through that.
But it was the patience. So I like to replace silence with patience, right? Because the patience to wait for the actual blessing, a part of the perfect plan that always comes in the perfect timing, I've learned a while ago, I can't force God's blessings and will, and I can't force things to happen.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't happen for me, right? Then I get frustrated. And it starts there, and then it, you know, like the enemy trickles in, and it kind of goes through every aspect and level and sub-level of my life. I mean, even down to how I'm talking to my little dog, you know, just frustrated all the time. But then you get into the presence of the Lord through prayer, through worship, and then, you know, I kind of like to think about it, Rabbi, as you just decide to change your attitude. And it's this different peace that comes over you, because one thing that I like to pray when I get in those moments and I have to get more intimate with God to draw closer is, I'm like, hey, look, you know, I can't carry this burden. I've tried. It's just, you know, I'm not strong enough to do it, you know, and so I need you to take it. And when I get into the presence of the Lord like that, and I'm drawing, I'm forcing myself painfully sometimes to draw close to Him, you know, because the moment has gone on for maybe months, you know, I gain this certain perspective to where when I make the decision, hey, it's an attitude thing, and I'm just going to be joyous, and regardless what it is, I'm going to have a good day. That's when I usually find that, like, His perfect timing and plan kind of comes in full circle for me.
So what you just said is worth millions and millions of dollars in the kingdom, is that you can't control it. You have to have the right attitude and the patience, and you have to, it's what we talked about with Job, though he slay me or though I don't understand, I will praise Him. So for you as a young man to already own that, that's huge in your life. I didn't own that at your age. So as soon as people can realize that you can't, you do tithe and you give and you pray and fast and all these things, you do that because that's part of the alignment. But you have to leave the deliverables up to God. And so that's what you're saying. Like right now, you could be listening to this podcast. And what Daryl is saying to you is this, and I'll just share personal testimony. This happened this week. The allergy season here is here with all the trees.
It's brutal.
And my allergies are really bad, and it's hard because I make a living speaking. So I'm in my office and I am as clogged as you can get. And I have a situation that I really want to move. And I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, this needs to change, this. And I'm pressuring God, dictating, like, I'm out of patience with this. Let's make this happen. And the Lord, basically what you just said is what the Lord gave me. He said, you can either lay it down right now and trust me to handle it or not. This was just a few days ago. And I said, wow, well, I know this. Even Daryl knows this now. I mean, this is what we're talking about. But what happens is I knew it, but I forgot it. So this literally just happened to me. And I'm not saying this is going to happen to other people, but this is how loving God is. So I repented for being impatient. I repented for trying to push. I'm a type A. I was pushing. Forgive me, Lord. I laid it down. I took a deep breath. I repented. And I said, Lord, I praise you. I choose to intentionally be joyful, at peace, as if this thing's already taken care of, in Jesus' name. God is my witness, a miracle. I had a miracle. I went from, and this has not happened to me that I know of, all the sinus, and I was having a little bit of a fever, my throat, the whole thing. Everything like that, I was healed. I'm talking sinus is gone, throat, temperature gone. I immediately was healed. I went in the house of Christie. I said, oh my gosh. I said, I just was repenting about this and I got healed. And we were like rejoicing over it. And I'm still healed from it because you can tell I'm not clogged here. So, but that's the principle of, let's take it back to the counting down of the Omer. Thank you, Lord, for at Passover taking me out of slavery in Egypt. I will choose, let's say, take 5 minutes a day in the morning, first thing, to quote scripture for 5 days. This would be a good thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto me. I'm gonna pray that for 5 days, and then I'm going to memorize it. Then the next 5 days, I'm going to get another scripture. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Then I'm going to memorize that scripture for 5 days. So now you're at 10. So then you go to 15 for another 5 days, 5 minutes, 5 days. And if you'll do that, now, one of the things you can throw in, which is a great habit and a pattern, is to take communion. You know, literally get a little juice and some bread and take communion after you say the scripture. So what happens is by the time you get to Shavuot, you have memorized 5 identity scriptures. You have proclaimed it in the courts of heaven for 50 days. And what happens is you're going to have a difference in your life. I guarantee, if you want to guarantee, you can't quote that much scripture, even 5 minutes a day, excuse me, and not be changed.
Podcast at KurtLandry.com. If any thoughts, any questions, please send them over to that email address. Also, if you're listening, you're watching, if you're watching this on YouTube, or if you're watching this on the One New Man app, please let us know. You know, send us an email, leave a comment, share it on social media for us. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, just give us a ranking. Hopefully 5 stars. Tell us how much you love it. That's going to really, really help the show. So I feel like we're at a pretty good spot, you know, because I don't want people to listen, be fed in this, and not get fed again. So when we do have that service and we start pushing more content out, you know, like by the time this episode is airing, it's going to be very timely. It's going to line up really, really perfect into what we're doing for Shabbats and just random live streams when you feel led to go live. So let's wrap it up. Let's give a couple, not lasting thoughts, but give me something to chew on. So give me a little bit of bite of that, like rabbi ribeye.
Preparation is the key to victory. In anything, sports, business, relationship, preparation is the key to victory. You know, I used to snow ski, not competitively, but pretty heavy duty. That's where Christy and I met, Lake Tahoe. And one of the men that I really respected was Jean-Claude Keely. He was the Olympian downhiller from France back, oh, this would have been in the 70s. And I'd never forget his quote. His quote changed my life because it was how I was raised. And he said, the race, with his French accent, I can't do it very good. The race is won before you leave the gate. That's the counting down of the Omer. 5 weeks, 5 weeks, I mean 5 days, five, 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 five. You get to the 50, the gate opens, and you've won because you've prepared.
That's good stuff. Guys, don't forget that this, you know, we're going to have more content, more stuff is going to come out. Again, if you have any questions, anything that you wanted to throw at us for this podcast, anything for Rabbi, just podcast@KurtLandry.com. All right, Rabbi, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Darrell. Great job. Hey, before you go, I got something really exciting I want to share with you. It's an opportunity for you to be a part of us as a One New Man Covenant subscriber. This membership is going to allow you to receive weekly prophetic words and also content that's not available to the general public. Your membership is going to help us to be able to bring better content, and more education to you. What is needed in this day and hour is good information. So become a One New Man Covenant subscriber for Kurt Landry Ministries, and I want to thank you in advance.